Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks in Branson, Missouri. Well, I have just gotten back from a marvelous, glorious meeting. We had an eschatology meeting at Osage Beach, Missouri, Dr. Larry and Loretta Allison's church, Walk on the Water Faith Church. I had been praying about what to do as the subject of our eschatology. Eschatology means a study of the last things. And we had done the book of Ezekiel filled with prophetic things to be fulfilled. We had considered doing the book of Daniel, but every time I prayed, I received instruction from the Lord to do the book of Ephesians and the glorious church. We had we were there for 11 meetings, but we have 8 that are on the subject of the book of Ephesians and the glorious church. We taught it. We moved in the Spirit. It was the most glorious meeting. And we're going to make those available to you at the end of the program on CD, DVD. But right now, I want to begin a series which will be on our radio program for the next few weeks on the book of Ephesians and the glorious church, because that too is a part of end time prophecy. The church of the living God is to be filled with glory. And we're going to take our teaching from the letter, Paul's letter, that absolutely lifts us into the presence of the glorious, wonderful God. I want to talk to you a little bit about the Apostle Paul and his revelation before we begin that glorious book, the book of Ephesians. If you have your Bible there, please turn with me to Acts chapter 7. This is something that for a long time I've thought about. Acts chapter 7 is Stephen preaching. And it begins with and ends with glory. The Jews know, they have something they call circular teaching. Everything begins actually in heaven with God, comes down into the earth, fulfills it. God's word, for instance, begins in heaven, comes down like the rain or the snow, Isaiah the prophet says, brings forth fruit in the earth and goes back and gives glory to God. Jesus said of his own ministry, I came forth from the Father, I came into the earth, and now I return to the Father. That's a circle. And in Jews' teaching, they'll often begin and end with the same song. So you open the circle and you close the circle. It's interesting to note that Stephen's sermon opens with the glory of God and closes with it. We'll read his opening in Acts chapter 7, verse 2. And he said, Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. Here he gives us a revelation that we don't have back in Genesis, but we are told it is the God of glory who appeared to Abraham. And then at the end of his sermon, they were not happy with this sermon. People don't always like what you teach or preach, but if God gave it to you and it pleases him, then all is well. And his sermon ends with Acts chapter 7, 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. How wondrous this sermon is. Now he's stoned to death, as you well know. 56, and said, Behold, Stephen said, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. Now this is the part I want you to get. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Adonai Yeshua, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Now, we often go to the Temple Mount, but now there is the Dome of the Rock there. And when we go in, they demand that we take our shoes off. We used to be able to go in. Now they don't let you go in much anymore. But when we were able to go into the Dome of the Rock, we had to take our shoes off because it was a holy place. And someone stays and watches the shoes and your cameras and the other things you're not allowed to take in, your coats or whatever. So that day, they laid their cloaks. They laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. This is Saul of Tarsus. And we are told in chapter 8, verse 1, he was consenting unto Stephen's death. Thank God. And this part I've thought about so very much. When he died, Stephen looked up into the heavens and saw the glory of God, and he prayed a prayer. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Could you have done that? If you'd been one of the martyrs of the early church, if they had tied you up and burned you at the stake, could you have prayed, Lord, lay not this sin at their charge? Could you have prayed in this instant, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge, like the Lord Jesus did when he was crucified? Well, if you cannot ask God to forgive your brethren for the wrongs that they've done unto you, and you keep those in your mind, then you certainly could not have done this. But we are to follow this path of Stephen and follow the path of the Lord and ask the Lord's forgiveness on those who have. The Lord, the first thing he ever said about prayer is, pray for those that despitefully use you. What does he want you to pray for them? That God will rain down fire on their head? No. He wants you to pray that God would forgive them so that he can further deal with them in their lives. What if he could not have further dealt with Saul of Tarsus? But when Stephen asked God to lay not this at his charge, I'm quite sure God answered Stephen's prayer and wiped it away. Then he can move on with Saul of Tarsus and his great plan for his life. We're going to find out about Saul of Tarsus, who later became Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, that he was called from his mother's womb. And even though he lived all this life up until this time and was consenting to Stephen's death, the first martyr, he had been called from his mother's womb. Now we're going to pick it back up at chapter 8 and verse 1 of the book of Acts. And Saul was consenting unto Stephen's death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Saul was consenting, and Saul had a part in the great persecution. Now let's turn over to Acts chapter 9 and see what happens to Saul. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him. And when he tells this story over in a later chapter of the book of Acts, he said he heard a voice speaking unto him in the Hebrew tongue. So he would have called him Shaul, Shaul. Madua, the Hebrew word for why. Why do you persecute me? Now just think of it. Paul is carrying off the church to persecution. He's carrying them off. He would go over there in Damascus. He would put chains around their necks, and he would bring them back to Jerusalem to arrest them. That was his intent. I'm sure he didn't put them on nice carts. He probably would have made them walk with those chains around their necks. And he said,
Saul, Shaul, Shaul, why persecutest thou me? And he answered, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Yeshua, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Well, he was persecuting the body of Christ. Jesus is the head of the body. Now, Saul doesn't know this yet. He's going to have a great revelation that reveals to him that the church is actually the body of Christ. He doesn't know it yet. The apostles don't know it yet. It has not been revealed, this great relationship. But there is no relationship greater than a head and its body. Your head gives messages to your body, and your body carries out what your head designs that it do. Even if you lift your finger, it originated in the brain. And so he, the head, is saying, Saul, you are persecuting me, the body. Why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? Praise God, he said that. He's going to write 2/3 of the New Testament. That's what God's going to have him do. He's going to have him tell you who you are in Jesus Christ. At this point, nobody knew who they were in Jesus Christ. It came with something called Paul's revelation. Now, the book of Ephesians and the glorious church, Jesus is not coming back for a church that's run down a rabbit hole, that's depressed, that's weak. He's coming back for a triumphant church. And this week, we are making available to you, we're going to make available everything we did up in Osage Beach about the book of Ephesians and the glorious church. But I also want you to get Brother Hagin's book, The Triumphant Church. This is Kenneth E. Hagin's book, The Triumphant Church. Normally sells for $14. We're making it available for $10. I also would like you to have my book, The Blood and the Glory, for $10. That normally sells for $13. Now, this is a lot for you to remember, but we have one of the brightest listening audiences in the whole world. From our Book of Ephesians, and we're going to call it the Glorious Church Conference that we just had, we're making the CDs available, the DVDs available. The CDs are $65, the DVDs $85. You can have the set of the CDs and the DVDs for $125. Just give us a call at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. Or write us at Box 40 Branson, 65615. This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, shalom, until tomorrow, when we're going to begin to look into Paul's great revelation.
Thank you for listening to today's radio broadcast, The Voice of One Witness, with Dr. Billy Brim. You may listen to these radio broadcasts, as well as Sister Billy's weekly webcast, Watching the Week in the Light of Bible Prophecy, on the World Wide Web at www.billybrim.org. For more information about Billy Brim Ministries, to see Sister Billy's meeting schedule, or order products by Sister Billy and many others, log on to our website at www.billybrim.org or call our ministry offices at 1-800-972-3447.